And Lord Krishna, by comparison, of course we read about the Lord and we try to become very attentive to all the activities of the Lord. But here was Prabhupada was walking on this very ground, and we remember how he looked and how he walked. So that's our glorification. Of course, we glorify the Lord as much as we can, but we have this remembrance of a living personality, a human personality, who was an acting, who was very addicted. I was talking with Dave Amrita yesterday, Maharaj, and there was a conversation that took place with Prabhupada and John Lennon, Yoko Ono, and George Harrison. And he was saying how, in one sense, this was a very kind of superficial talk, and they were talking a little bit, small talk, but it was actually a very deep conversation. And one of the questions that arose during this conversation was, from the audience, well, how do we know? There's so many people that say, I'm it, I'm the spiritual master, and I know what's right, and you should follow me, and I'm the guru, and I'm the leader. But how do we know? And this is a very perplexing question, and it was, to us who were there, something that we were a little concerned. How is Prabhupada going to deal with this? Because he didn't want to say, well, I'm the one, you should come to me. And he didn't, on the other hand, just want to say, well, everything is equal. Prabhupada's answer was that you have to find the person that's most addicted to Krishna. What a shocking thing to hear. Most addicted. Use the word addicted. When we hear the word addicted, we kind of think of people who have a kind of bodily addiction to certain abusive substances. But Prabhupada said he's addicted to Krishna. That's the person who is the right person to hear from, the person who's most addicted to Krishna. And that's actually what Prabhupada was. He was empowered because he was addicted to Krishna. And for that reason, everything he did was very important to us. And therefore, we tend to glorify Prabhupada. Maybe I'm doing it more than I should in this class. But we tend to glorify him more than we glorify the Lord. And partly it's because we remember him. We have all the tapes, we have so many videos, we have the personal association, we have remembrance of it being very nearby. So the devotee of the Lord is very much glorified. And that's why Shukadeva Goswami was given a seat of honor, why all the great kartas of the material world that were there, they were present, there were demigods, there were jarshis, there were rishis, they were all glorifying him. They wanted to hear him because he was a great devotee of the Lord, not an ordinary person. He was empowered, he was addicted. He had become the speaker of the Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami is the speaker of the Bhagavatam. So because of his addiction, we might say, he was very glorified in society. Everyone came to hear him. And then there's some description about how he was, how he looked, how his body, how he had this kind of physiognomy that everyone was very attracted to. There was a little book published by Anika Dundui, and I don't remember the name of it, but in one of the, he just had a lot of quotes from Prabhupada, but one of them said that we will be judged by our character, our behavior, and our preaching. So I kind of tried to find this in the books, and I couldn't find it anywhere, our character, our behavior, and our preaching. But I thought it was a very nice quote, but I just thought, well, if I can't find it, I'm not gonna sort of stand by this as being something Prabhupada said. But finally, I did find it. One of Prabhupada's lectures. And he says that. It's either in a lecture or in a book. He says, we'll be... Our character and our behavior and our preaching is very, very important. So it's interesting how the sequence went, because he puts character and behavior in front of preaching. It's not that preaching might not be more important, but in this particular section, Prabhupada said character first, then behavior, and then preaching. So there's a saying in the material world that I can't hear what you're saying because I'm hearing what you are more. So it is the character and the behavior of people like Sukadeva Goswami and Prabhupada that is very important to us. We see it's the overall way that a person carries oneself. It's the tone even. Or sometimes it's said the nature of the vibration is what's important. Sometimes devotees don't want to speak. Like me, I'm kind of, you know, like when I have to talk before devotees, I get kind of nervous. I can speak before hundreds of people and I'm not nervous, but when I talk before devotees, somehow I'm getting used to it now, but it's, you sort of feel, I don't know, like you're really kind of on the spotlight. You might make a little mistake, get one verse wrong or Sanskrit word wrong, and then everyone's on your case. They might not say it, but they'll say it to each other, or they'll think it. So it's kind of a scary situation, really. But When sometimes I would be very hesitant to give lectures, someone would say, well, it's the nature of your vibration that people care about. It's not what you say. It's not how many shlokas you memorize. It's not how many stories you know. It's not how well you've mastered all the names of the chapters of the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. So it's the nature of the way we are. It's the nature of our vibration, the way we carry ourselves, so to speak. So in Prabhupada's saying this, the character and the behavior, they're very important. Once I had an experience where I was driving in England, and I was kind of sticking out into the intersection farther than I should have, and someone was making a turn, and he had to go sort of way around me in order to get to the street I was in. And he had a turban on. He was a Sikh, I guess. And of course I was shaved. And he went by me very fast, but not so fast that he couldn't say one sentence right almost in my ear. And the sentence was, "You disgrace your religion." I thought, wow, of all the things he could have said, of all the things he could have done. And I was just sticking out maybe 5 or 6 feet too far at the intersection. I was a disgrace to the Hare Krishna movement. And I thought, all right, you know, I've got to be careful. So Prabhupada quoted that verse that the black spot on the white tablecloth is very, very conspicuous. And a person wearing religious clothes, whether it's a saffron or it's a Christian clothes or whatever, they make a little mistake, they do something wrong, and it's all over. Everyone knows it, and the whole religion is blamed, and it's a very dark spot. So it's said sometimes that a sadhu has no private life. We're public figures in a way. Every time we go out, we go to the shop, or we're out in public somewhere, we're representing everything. And it's people aren't even hearing us. They're just looking how we're acting, how we're walking, or maybe we have some little exchange in the shop. You know, they're checking us out. They're seeing how we act, how we talk, what we say, what we do. So our character, our values, our behavior. Once a devotee was given in America $5 extra in change. And so he gave me too much, and he gave it back to the cashier. And when that man came back a few weeks later, the cashier remembered him, and he gave him something. You know, he had some kind of extra vegetables, and he said, "Here, I'm giving you this for your temple." He said, "I want to tell you that you're the first person that ever told me I gave him too much change." It really happened. So that's part of the whole thing, you know, the character. Sometimes we think that because we have the perfect philosophy that we're following Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that, you know, we don't really have to be good drivers, or we should keep the extra change, or we, you know, it really doesn't matter. But people notice these things. And when we vow to take initiation, when we say, okay, no sex, no gambling, no eating, no intoxication, sometimes we forget that really, what does that mean? That means we're clean. That means that we're austere. That means we're truthful. That means we follow the principles. They may be sub-religious principles, but we're merciful. We're all these things. We have to be these things, because these are how a lot of people, maybe most people, are going to judge us more than by how we lecture or what we say. We're not going to have an opportunity to talk to a lot of people, but they're going to see us. We're going to be out among them. And they do hear us. And what we say and how we act, how we carry ourselves are very, very important. So character, behavior are very important, more than what we say sometimes, and more than even the positions that we might attain as devotees of Krishna. It's how we act. When we teach, sometimes we're teaching systems of education in our seminars and our communications and management. We stress, and book distribution, which was the first course, we stress the values and the principles above everything, that we have to know what are we trying to do, and what are the values we're trying to inculcate when we give a book to someone. Are we just trying to get money, or are we trying to show that this book represents a body of saintly persons? Obviously, it's the latter. So all that has been built into these courses, how we behave and how we carry ourselves. And by understanding that this is as much of an integral and important part of our philosophy as learning the verses and learning what the philosophical permutations are, what the points of the philosophy are, then we become perceived as being as proper representatives. Once Prabhupada is quoted saying that, "My devotees are such perfect ladies and gentlemen that no one can find any fault in them." There's a famous interview. Someone asked him, "Well, what's the difference between your people following Krishna and a Christian person following Christ?" And Prabhupada said that. And then he added, "Therefore, I teach them not to eat meat." Just to show that this is part of morality, that we don't believe that eating meat is moral, or killing animals, or sanctioning, or contributing to it. So, I'll read the verse again, so we don't get too late. Mahiyasan Bhamashirajashikibhashisangai Pyoirochatam Bhagavanya Tindur Kaharakshadaranigarai Parita. Shukadeva Goswami was then surrounded by saintly sages and demigods, just as the moon is surrounded by stars, planets, and other heavenly bodies. His presence was gorgeous, and he was respected by all. I just want to add one thing that this is a word that we don't use too much, gorgeous. But Prabhupada adopted that word. He liked it very much, and he especially used it in relationship to deity worship. And these deities, I wanted to say, are very, very beautiful today, the way they're dressed and the way they look. And it's not very frequently used, but Prabhupada, it was just the perfect word. It was amazing how he found just the right words. And he used this word a lot, gorgeous, in relationship to the deities and how they looked, how beautiful they were. So, any comments or questions? Madhuri?
Maharaj, it's quite amazing. In the video that we've been watching of Prabhupada's life, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was quoted as saying, referring to Prabhupada, that what need is there of many stars when there is a moon?
That's true, yeah. He said that. Referring to, he had the vision that Prabhupada would be the, of all his followers, Prabhupada would be the moon, they would be like the stars. So he had these very prophetic statements. I think he also said that in time he will do everything. Buddha is saying that. So he just could see straight through to the soul of Srila Prabhupada, that he would be the emerging person that would carry forward Lord Chaitanya's movement. Yes?
What do we mean when we're talking about a devotee?
What do we mean when we're talking about a devotee? In a very broad sense, we mean everybody. Because, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's in the 15th chapter, Mamai Vamso Jivaloke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mana Shastra Nindriyani Prakriti Stane Karshati, that everyone is my part and parcel, Krishna says. So in that sense, everyone is a devotee. Prabhupada even wrote us a letter about that. He said that in a larger sense, everyone is a devotee. When we talk about it in a more narrow sense, we talk of a person who is a pure devotee, or an exclusive devotee, one who is, as Prabhupada said, most addicted to Krishna. And that kind of devotee is someone who gets no pleasure out of anything in the material world, or talking about anything in the material world, or talking about anything material other than Krishna. And that is a pure devotee, or nityasiddha. Sometimes Prahlad Maharaj is described as nityasiddha, one who is pure from birth. When Prabhupada was asked about that, are you a nityasiddha or pure devotee? He wrote back, it's a famous letter actually, I think it was written to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He said, there was never a time when I did not think about Krishna. And he talked about how he had little dolls to play with that were Krishna dolls, and he had deities to worship when he was a child. So there are different gradations of devotees, and one who is in the highest stage of devotional service sees the whole world as devotees, and that's the Paramahansa stage, or the Uttama Adhikara stage. But there are three stages, the Kanista, the Majjhima, and the Uttama, and we are in the, as Prabhupada told us, we're in the middle stage, the Majjhima Adhikara stage. And in this stage, we are to worship the Supreme Lord, make friends with the devotees, and avoid the people who are very, very envious. There's a verse that goes, I can't think of it just now, but these are the symptoms of a devotee in the Majjhima Adhikara stage, yet karoti cha Majjhima. The verse ends that one should be a devotee who is friendly to all devotees, but who avoids those people who are envious. That's part of that verse. And sees, this is the fourth thing, sees all people as bala, which means children, as his own children. Worships the Supreme Lord. Sees all people as innocent, makes friends with the devotees, and avoids the envious. Those four things are the symptoms of a Majjhima Adhikari, and the things that we aspire to. So we worship the deity. We give all of our love to Krishna. We see all people as potential devotees. Vali Sheshu Dhyasachucha. We Premi Maitre Prapopiksha. We make friends with the devotees. Intimate friendship with the devotees. Now, it doesn't mean that we can be intimate with everybody, but our intimate friends are devotees. Those we may have one or two or three, but they are our friends. And those who are envious, we stay away from. Of course, they are a small minority, those who are very envious. Once Prabhupada was asked, he said, but Prabhupada, I speak and speak, and I go to so many engagements, devotees, living in the temple. But people, they're not really interested. Most people are not really interested in what I have to say. So Prabhupada's retort was, then what's the point of preaching? Why are you talking anyway? You think everyone wants to hear you? You know, if you're not preaching, you're not changing people's minds, what's the point? So in other words, of course, preaching is the thing of God. Most people aren't going to be interested. But if the one person or two or three or whoever takes some steps towards Krishna, and maybe thousands of people will take a tiny, tiny step, maybe they'll just eat a little prasadam, and maybe one or two or three people will take a giant step towards Krishna, then it's worth it. That's the way the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading. So this is Majjhima Adhikari. This is the kind of devotees that we are. We're going to preach and preach because we see there's potential in everyone. We're going to reveal our hearts to the devotees, to our friends and devotees. We're going to worship the Supreme Lord. And only those people who are very demonically envious, who are really, and that's not most people, who are really going to attack us or avoid us, are we going to avoid. And to avoid them, if they're really inimical, we'll just avoid them. So we're in that stage of devotion. We're Majjhima Adhikaris. And of course, we're aspiring to be Uttama Adhikaris, to see everything as the spiritual world, but we're not quite there yet. So when we talk of devotee, we speak of many types of devotees, but this is what Prabhupada wanted us to be. He wanted us to be preachers, basically, and to see that everyone has the potential.
Still a little grey.
Pardon?
It's still a little grey. I mean, how do we treat congregational members, for instance?
How do we treat them?
I mean, they just come along on a Sunday and that's it. In a lot of cases, but mm-hmm. There's a lot of them that are really first-class devotees. So obviously we can see some of them, mm-hmm. but the others are not self-involved. Just look like, you know, they're coming for a burger and they want a yak and smoke a cigarette around the back.
But that person who's smoking a cigarette on the back might become a pure devotee. I mean, we don't know. But my point is that it's always going to be a little bit gray because when we're preaching, we just don't know what effect it's going to have. I know a devotee who carried Bhagavad Gita around for 5 years, didn't have anything to do with the devotees, and then became a full-time devotee, got initiated. Couldn't get past the first chapter in Bhagavad Gita. Tough chapter. But we really don't know. And those who might appear to be kind of effulgent or sitting up front and shaving their heads, they might not, in the long run, be as good as the person who's smoking around the back. I mean, we just really don't know. And preaching, as Prabhupada said, is a thankless task. It might be 5 years. Prabhupada himself got his instructions early. And some people say, well, why did it take so many 30 years? Prabhupada said, well, it's a long time. I had to prepare. Lots of time. And he's a pure devotee, but some people didn't see it. So according to our vision, we just don't really know. And it's always going to be a bit gray, because preaching is a thankless task. And when Prabhupada preached, he didn't know. He was preaching to Malechus. And he at one time, I think it was San Francisco, some lady was muttering something under her breath, just going on some kind of hallucinatory things. You know, talking really loud and interrupted the lecture. Prabhupada was heard to say under his breath, this is the darkest of ages. But who knows? You know, even persons like that, somehow they can become saved, you know, they can become liberated. So when we speak of devotee, it's always going to be a bit of great. Generally we talk of people who are living in the temples or showing some signs of doing devotional service, that they're doing a lot of service. And that's generally what, in general, are the people who are getting pulled into the center of Krishna consciousness. But we never really can know for sure. So we also have to be a little bit open-minded. And the only people we're really avoiding are not so much the people that are smoking on the street, but people who are openly envious to us. Because we want to give everybody the opportunity. That's why Prabhupada said open restaurants. He gave one directive. He said, don't, in America, it was around 1974, his secretary wrote and said, he said, we're not going to open any more temples in the United States. He said, just restaurants. Restaurants with reading rooms. And why? He said, because then people will appreciate the cultural position. So, he said, we have enough temples. In other words, the temples will always attract people who are ready to go the distance. And the restaurants will attract a very larger number of people who aren't ready to go to this. They're just going to come, well, it's nice people, nice atmosphere, nice food, nice folks. But it might take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years till they become devotees. But Prabhupada liked that. At one point he said that we should have more of that because he had this very expansive vision of wanting to get everybody involved somehow, even though it might take a long time. And he also wrote in some of his letters that some are not ready to move into the temples. He said it's better, he wrote this in letters, better you should stay at home, read the books, become convinced about the velocity. Then, if you feel like you want to move into a temple, then do it. But Prabhupada had the vision that most people, as we see now, our devotees, they're not living in temples. This is the sort of core. But he had that vision that you can be a devotee and not live in a temple. And you can be just like Prabhupada himself. He wasn't living in the temple, but he became the leader of this different succession. So it's hard to know. It's very hard to know what's going on inside. Does that help? Okay. We have time for one more.
Sometimes from my experience I see that sometimes some of the congregation members are following even nicer than the devotees that are living in the temples. Mm-hmm. And they're getting up and even more than
that. Mm-hmm. That happens. Sometimes. I mean, we just can't always tell. I mean, in general, those who are in the temples are pretty, they're the most committed, they're really committed, and people expect a level of commitment that is extraordinary. You know, rising early and strictly following the principles of all one's waking hours being devoted to devotional service. But sometimes we see that there are people who are following more strictly than aren't living in the temples. It happens. It may happen more and more. You had a question?
Maharaj, you used a really nice expression, healthy pessimism, about the material world.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it said that devotees are very negative because of the that thing that we do have about that. So how can we overcome that? That mood that maybe we're giving out because we want to appear that we're chanting and being happy also.
I hate to make this a Prabhupada said class, but I'm going to get some of my own personal experiences to answer your questions. Because I don't believe that we can live that way. But he did say once that Krishna consciousness is a process of recreation, singing and dancing and feasting. And that's a kind of way that we try to, not only try to portray ourselves, but we actually feel that. We feel that we're happy, and we are happy. We're happy because we're inwardly happy. We're not subject to what happens when people had their safe taken away from where you work. And, they got reeled down because someone robbed them, $4,000. But they're pretty successful people. They own a store and they're pretty happy, pretty upbeat. But they're down moments. And nobody who's got everything believes that they don't get depressed sometimes. When we were talking with David Ormiji yesterday, he was saying how when he was first he just graduated from college or something with his friend, and they heard Prabhupada in New York saying the material world has no happiness in it. It's all foul, and there's no one is going to be happy in this material world, and if you think you're going to enjoy, you're wrong. And he was very, very heavy, and then he said that just blew them away, or blew his friend away. They never came back to the temple. You think there's anything to enjoy in this material world, you are wrong, because there's nothing to give you any kind of pleasure in this material world. So, I mean, we know that. We're devotees, and we know that's true. But we also know that when people come to Krishna consciousness, that, we don't try to get them to to just give everything up all of a sudden, because they are attached to certain things that, that give them pleasure and happiness. So when we talk of a quest to about realization, we're talking about preaching according to the audience. Who we're talking to? Are they new people? Are they, have they been here? They need to hear that the material world is not a civilized place. They need to hear that they can just add Krishna consciousness to their present situation. A lot of people, yes. If they just add the spiritual dimension to their life. Prabhupada said that many times. Just add Krishna consciousness. We're not trying to take anything away. We're not asking that you should renounce everything. And when Prabhupada was trying to give his wife initiation, remember, she was saying, well, you know, I had to have my tea. You know, I can't take my tea away. And she was very worried that it was, you know, taking other things away from her. Because she could understand this is her husband, for example. You know, so there's many different ways to look at preaching. When we try to get people involved, people who are in the spirit of enjoyment, we obviously don't want to say that we've just got to throw everything away and give everything up. And because sometimes we do preach that way, and we need to preach that way. Prabhupada used to preach that way because he didn't want devotees to be at all enamored by anything material. He didn't want his followers to think that there was anything really worthwhile in the material world, because the goal is to get to the spiritual world. So if we think, if there's just a trace of wanting to enjoy anything, wanting to be like Krishna, wanting to really be the enjoyer, instead of giving everything to Krishna, then we won't get back to the spiritual world. So Prabhupada used to preach very, very heavily sometimes to us. But when he would preach to other people, he would go into their homes, or some very wealthy, or a person who's very used to a very high standard of enjoyment, Prabhupada would go all the way out of his way to make sure he had a chair, make sure that the food was the best, that the accommodation was the very, very best. So he didn't make them sleep on the floor and live in grass mats and just eat raw khichdi. He went way out of his way to make sure that everything was very comfortable and very nice. So according to the audience, the time, place, and circumstance, we're very positive people, but we can't do it on the basis of we're giving up the materialistic pleasures of life to new people. So it depends. It just depends on who we're preaching to. So I think we'll have to end here. Thank you very much. And Srila Prabhupada is a great personality. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He's the great moon among the many stars. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the great shining light among all the literatures of the world. Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada Ki Jai.